that we have from Judges chapter 6 through 8. All right, so the first song that we're going to sing is a very important song. It's a very important song to me. You know, I'll just introduce who I am. My name is Gideon. I have traveled a long way through here. And let me tell you, you have a strange world. I mean, in my day, people that wore masks were the bad guys. And now I see everybody wearing masks. It's a strange world we're living in here. But I wanted to tell my story. You know, my name is Gideon, which means mighty one. But I never really felt that mighty. In fact, I really felt inadequate for my job. But the Lord did great things through me. And I want to tell my story because I think He can do great things through you too. Whether you're 6 years old, whether you're old, like 60 years old, like some people around here, or maybe even older than that. I mean, there are things that all of us can do. But this song is real important to me because, well, you may not know about the law of Moses. You know, it was a law given a long time ago, but it was given to my people. About 100 years before my life, there was a man named Moses who went to Mount Sinai with my people. And God gave the law through Moses. And there are really a couple of verses, a couple of those sections of that law that really summarize the whole thing. First one's in Deuteronomy, and the next one is in Leviticus. And we made a song, hopefully maybe y'all can catch on, but we like to sing this song because we're supposed to teach our children about, well, these important commandments. So Andrew said he was going to help me. He's going to lead us in a song, and then we're going to have a prayer, and then we're going to, well, I'm going to jump into my story.
Please bow with me. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day and for all the blessings of life that you give to us. Thank you so much for the time that has been set aside that we can come together as your people and learn more about your word, Lord. Pray that you would help us to move those things from the world out of our minds so that we can focus in on you. Thank you so much for your son Jesus and the great sacrifice he made for all of us by coming to this earth and living that perfect life to show us how to live and ultimately dying on the cross for our sins. Dear Lord, pray that you would forgive us of our sins that we may enter into this study with a pure heart. Dear Lord, we pray that you would be with those who cannot be with us tonight. I pray that you would help those who are sick physically and that they might be able to be back with us soon. But most importantly, Lord, we pray that you would be with those who are spiritually sick. We pray that we might be able to say or do something that might help them to realize the error of their way and bring them back to you. Dear Lord, go with us now and bless us and help us to always look to you for everything that we need. In Christ's name, amen.
All right, y'all picked up on that song pretty well. You sounded like you were Israelites. Maybe a different kind of Israelites today. Unfortunately, I got to tell you a little bit about my people. We had a hard time back then keeping faith, being faithful to the Lord. It just seemed to be a cycle. Our people, they started to bow down to the idols, to the false gods, to the Baals and the Asherahs, and they started being unfaithful to the Lord. And the Lord would send in different peoples, and during my day, it was the Midianites. They came in, and they were really a terrible people. They would come in, and they would actually destroy our crops. They would come with great numbers of people and camels, and my people would have to hide out in caves and hide from these people because, you know, we would be out there and we'd be threshing and harvesting the wheat, and we'd be taking care of our donkeys and our cows and everything, and those Midianites would come and they would just trample all over our harvest. We were impoverished. We were dying of hunger. They were destroying all of our livestock. I mean, these people were just, they were just mean. They were just ruthless. For 7 years, Midianites were over the top of us and making our lives miserable. And so my people, they cried out unto God, and God raised me up to be a judge. Now, there have been judges before me. Does anybody know enough about my history to know who might have been a judge? Maybe the first judge that there was? Anybody remember who the first judge was? Yes, Ethan. Othniel, that's right. He was the first judge, and he pushed away those people from Mesopotamia. Who was the second judge? Remember the second judge's name? Remember the second one? Yes. Ehud, he was a left-handed guy, wasn't he? He had a real long sword. It was like 18 inches long. That's longer than 18 inches long. And he killed Eglon. Ooh, he was nasty. It made a mess. But he was the second judge. Remember, who's the third judge? Shamgar, that's exactly right. And then there was a pair. There was a woman who was a prophetess, and there was a man. Who was that woman's name? Yes, ma'am. Deborah. And who did she partner up with? Who was the man that led the forces to go against the people at that time? Yes, ma'am. Barak, that's right. Y'all really know my history well. I appreciate you taking that much interest in me and my people. Well, that's right. So we had a series of judges. I'm going to open my Bible, by the way. I don't know if I mentioned that or not, but we actually wrote a book about this. It's been passed on through the generations, the book of Judges, and I'm going to be going through chapter 6, 7, and 8 in my recounting of my life here a little bit. So where was I? Oh, yeah. So I was from this place called Ophrah. Now, it's not Oprah. I've heard that somebody has messed up the name of my town. But nonetheless, Ophrah is where I was from. And Israel cried out to God, and there was a prophet that came. And this prophet went around and said, listen, people, you need to be faithful to God. He's the one that brought you up out of Egypt. He's the one that gave you the law, and you are not being faithful to this God. You are not doing what he says. And in fact, there was an angel of God came to visit me. Now I was in a wine press. Now you don't smash up the grain and get it out in a wine press. Why do you think I was doing it in a wine press instead of on a threshing floor on the top of a hill somewhere? Why would I do that on a wine press? Some of you, yes, sir. That's right. What were the Midianites doing? They were trampling on all of our stuff. So I was trying to hide it. And here's this angel of the Lord came and was talking to me while I was there at the wine press. And he said, Gideon, the Lord is with you, you mighty man. And I had to tell him, I said, listen, what are you talking about? The Lord's with us. Look at our lives. I mean, where's all those miracles he did that our fathers told about? Why are we not prospering like you said we were going to? Well, the angel said, you are going to be the one who is going to rescue this people. I am going to send you in, and you are going to defeat those Midianites. Well, you know what I said? I said, and I'm going to quote myself in verse 15. Oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Why are you picking me? I'm not a great man. Why are you calling me mighty? I'm not a mighty man. I'm not the man. I'm not strong enough to hold this nation up. I'm not strong enough to meet these Midianites. Is that a good attitude to have? Is that a good thing for me to say I can't do it? Or is that a bad thing to say I can't do it? In what way is that a good thing for me to say I can't do it? Mr. Bryan, look like you're going to say something. I can tell these things.
Well, why would it be a good thing you say that? Because if I think that I have a lot of power and I can get things done all by myself, I may be forgetting about God. I actually probably need God's help to do it. So that's why it would be a bad thing to say I can do it by myself.
All right, that's exactly right. If you ever think that you are strong enough, you're talented enough to win the battle for the Lord by yourself, you're going to fail because you're not. So that's why it might be a good thing, but why might it be a bad thing for me to say, I can't do it. I'm not strong enough. Why might that be a bad thing for me to say? Yes, ma'am. You're doubting the Lord. If the Lord tells me, I am going to give you victory, I am going to make you save Israel, and I say, I can't do it, I'm really doubting God, am I not? You know, there are going to be times in our lives. Now God spoke directly to me. This angel of God spoke directly to me, and he told me what to do. And it's not going to happen in your life because he's already given us the Bible. But there are going to be times when you're at school when there's going to be a battle. Or there might be a time when you're in your neighborhood with your friends where there might be a battle over good and bad, over good and evil. God's going to need for you to stand up, not because you're strong, but because of who is so big. Who is so big, so strong, and so mighty? My God is so big. In fact, I think we ought to sing that song, don't you? My God is so big. Andrew, could you help us out here? Let me switch it to the next frame here. This technology, I've not got used to that yet.
My God is so big. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. The mountains are His, the valleys are His, the stars are His handiwork too. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do for you.
And there's really another song while you're up there, Andrew, that I
really like. It's called Awesome God, because that's who we need to focus on.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above. His power and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is awesome God. He reigns from heaven above. His power and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above. His power and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God.
Thank you. So I told this angel of God, I said, well, you know, if you don't mind, could you give me a sign? I need a sign. In fact, I'm going to ask that a lot. Would you give me a sign? I tell you what, I'm going to go prepare a goat and some meal, and I'll come right back. So I went out and I got my goat, and I got some broth and some bread and everything, and I brought it right back, and I was going to make an offering to him. And he told me, he said, now you lay it right down there on a rock. Lay it on the rock right there in front of me. And when I laid it on the rock, you know what he did? He hit it with his staff, and fire came out. Fire came up just out of the rock. That was amazing. And then he just kind of, well, he disappeared. He went away. So it was kind of an odd thing, feeling that I had, but you know what I thought? I'm doomed, because I just saw the angel of God face to face. But the Lord said, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I've got plans for you. In fact, what I want you to do, now here's job number one. I want you to go to the city where you are from, and I want you to go where they have that idol set up, that Ashtaroth and the Baal, and I want you to take a bull and tear down that altar, and I want you to cut up the Ashtaroth, and I want you to knock down that Baal. And you know what I want you to do? I want you to build an altar to God, and with that wood that you cut down, I want you to make a fire and use that to, after you kill the bull, I want you to offer that on that altar as a sacrifice to the true God, because God is the only one that we must worship. You need to make the point to your people. We've got to change people. We've got to make a difference. We can't keep following after this Baal. We must worship God. And I think you agree with that, don't you? I think you agree that we all need to worship the one true God. In fact, there's a psalm that was written a little bit later than my time, but I knew about it through time travel, that is about unto thee, O Lord. Because that's what it's about. Unto the Lord, that's where we have our allegiance. Andrew, would you mind helping us out with this one? Unto thee, O Lord, Psalm 25.
Unto thee, O Lord.
singing really makes me feel a lot stronger. Singing, especially with the people of God, gets me focused.
Gets me focused on the strength that God has and that God will help me through. So, you know what happened the next day? After I tore down that Baal and that Asherah, the men got mad at me. In fact, they wanted to kill me. They went to my dad's house and they said, "Who is the one that did this? Bring him out here. We're going to kill him." And my dad, you know what he said? He said, "Why are you arguing for Baal? Let him do it himself. If he is a god, why isn't he out there? I mean, he just got destroyed." And so they started calling me Jerubbaal from that time on. Let Baal plead for himself. That kind of became my nickname. Well, they didn't kill me. And so I saw that the Midianites were gathering to come against war. And so job number one was get rid of the gods in my hometown here, but this is going to be a bigger one. Job number two is you're going to have to defeat the Midianites and the Amalekites who are amassing here in the Jezreel Valley. So the Spirit of the Lord calls me to call up to the people around and let's go to battle. Let's go and fight. So I called for all of the people around me, to the people in Manasseh and Asher and Zebulun and Naphtali. Let's go, and they responded. They wanted to come and fight. But before I went to battle, I was still timid. And I said, "Are you sure you want me to go? God, let me, if you don't mind, I would like to make sure." And so what I'm going to ask you to do is tonight, I'm going to put this fleece out on the ground. And what I want you to do is in the morning, I want the dew to fall on the fleece, but not on the ground around it. I want that to be dry, just the fleece be wet. So I went to bed and I woke up early the next morning and I got the fleece and it was wet. And I wrung it out and it filled up a whole thing full of water. I said, "Wow, that's God's telling me to do that. Lord, do you mind?" I'm a little bit concerned here that maybe I'm stepping. You mind doing it again? But this time, do it the other way. I'm going to lay out this fleece all night, and this time, if you wouldn't mind, make it wet all around the fleece, but make the fleece dry. So I went to bed, and I got up real early the next day, and I went and I got that fleece. Do you think it was wet? It was dry as a bone. God made it dry. That's the third sign he's given me. Third one. And so I said, "Okay, I got it. I'm slow, but I got it. You want me to go to battle. You want me to go to battle against these Midianites." So I looked out. Whew. There were a lot of them out there. They were like locusts. They were like the sand of the sea, these Midianites. And I was concerned, but okay, I'm going to go to war against them. And so I started counting up my warriors, and I found out, oh yeah, I forgot, there was a photographer there taking pictures of me, of the fleece episode there. Okay, so we went to camp, and we are ready to go to battle, but we had 32,000 men of war, a lot of volunteers, they're ready to go to battle. You know what God said? What did he say? "That's too many." What do you mean too many? I mean, they're like the sand of the sea. They're going to be counted later. It's going to be 135,000 at least. We got 32,000. What do you mean too many? What do you think God was trying to say with that? Why did he choose me when I'm the least? Does God ever do that? Does he ever choose the least instead of the best in order to make a point? I see some heads going there. Herbert, why does he do that?
He wants their
That's right. Where is the focus? It needs to be on God's power, not man's. So he said, 32,000, that's too much. You're going to say, ooh, wow, we really did a good job there. We went against these guys and we beat them. So what I want you to do is I want you to say, anybody scared, go home. And 22,000 said, whoo, we're out of here. I'm scared. So 22,000 go. Now 32 minus 22 equals, I know we got a numbers guy here, but maybe somebody can help us out here. How many does that leave? Y'all know? How much? 32, 22 comes to, yes, Ethan? 10. 10,000 are left. And so God says, still too many. We need to cut it down. I'm going to cut it down another 9,700, but this time I'm going to do it. I want you to watch them when you tell them to get a drink of water. Now, could I have a couple of volunteers? You two young men here, you mind helping me out here? Come on up here. All right. So I want you to, so here is this, this is the beach right here. This is the, and this is the water. So if you get up there, you're in the water. So yeah, get out of the water. Okay, now get a drink of water, just as you think you would get a drink of water. There you go. Oh, hey, they read the story, didn't they? Okay, no, go ahead. Do that again. Okay, so you had one group, you had 9,700 of them. Do it like Ethan. Do that again. He's just lapping that up, down on his knees. And 300, do it like Jonathan do it. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us that it really makes any logical reason why that makes any difference. But do you see any tactical reason for a warrior why that would be a good idea? Do that again, Nathan. All right, I do that again, Jonathan. Ah, maybe there was, thank you, gentlemen, you did a very good job. Watch the water, it gets deep. There may be a tactical reason. You know, you want people to be looking around while they're drinking their water, not just lapping it up like a dog. And actually, that was the dog way, wasn't it? I don't know, it's confusing in the text for me. But anyway, so 300 of them are left, and they are going to go into battle. Now, you know what? I'm still scared. So God's going to have to give me a fourth one. A fourth one. So he says, I want you to go at night, and I want you to go down into the camp, and I want you to listen. So he and his servant went down there into the camp, and they listened. And there was this Midianite. He's saying, you know what? I just woke up, whoo, and I had this dream. I had this dream of this barley loaf. It was rolling down the hill, and it hit one of our tents, and the tent fell down. And his companion said, I know what that means. How he knew what it meant, I have no idea. But he said, I know what that means. That means that the sword of Gideon is going to come and he's going to wipe us out. He is going to destroy this camp. Well, I heard that and I said, phew, this fourth time, I got it. God's told me the fourth time I can handle this. And so I went back and I started rounding up the troops and said, okay, 300 guys, we're going to go. I'm going to give you three things. I'm going to give you a trumpet, I'm going to give you a torch, and I'm going to give you some pottery. So I know that there are three, there's probably not 300, but there are several out here. So if you would stand up with your trumpet, because we're going to go and we're going to surround the tent of Midian. And at my command, when you hear me, you blow your trumpet, and because we don't want to make a mess, we don't have any pottery being shattered, but you can imagine the sound of the pottery. And we're all going to hold up our torches, all right? So are y'all ready? Y'all stand up because you're surrounding this camp here, okay? You ready? What's this going to be like? You ready? Thank you very much. That scared me to death. That was just so loud. What? Oh, scared some other little boys too. I'm so sorry about that. Yeah. Well, it is. He must be a Midianite. That's right.
It's scary. Well, now, if you're at sleep and they don't have night goggles, they don't have any way to see what's going on, and all of a sudden you see surrounding you, you hear all this noise of this trumpet, you see these people, what's most likely going to happen to you? You're in big trouble. You're in big, because there's thousands of guys behind those. And so what do you think the people, the guys, the soldiers in Midian start doing? They start, oh no, I must be, and they start killing each other. And they start running. So they start running away, and so we start chasing them through the mountainside here. And we're going to sing a song about this. Because we're in the Lord. We may be talking about history here. We may be talking about something physical here. But every one of us is in the Lord's army. And we're fighting for what is good and what is right. Blown your trumpet for the Lord, and you have held up your torch, held up your light for the Lord, and you're going to have an opportunity to do that throughout your life, because this battle is extremely important. So, our armies, we start chasing them down the hillside, and they go down toward the Jordan River, and I ask a bunch of people to come and head them off at the Jordan River, and they catch a couple of the princes, and they execute them there at the Jordan River. And we cross over because the people, the Midianites, as they're running, they go to this other city called Karkor. And we're going to have to, but we're tired by now. We've been running across the countryside. And so we went to two cities, Succoth and Penuel. And we said, hey guys, could you just give us some bread? And they said, well, you get your job done first and we'll give you some bread. You know what I said? I said, I'm going to teach you a lesson when I come back. I'm going to take some briars and some thorns, and I'm going to make you feel it. And that tower there, I'm going to tear that tower down, and I'm going to kill some of you just because of your sarcasm toward us. Well, we went and chased after them, and we were able to kill the two kings. 120,000 of them had already died, and there were 15,000 left. But we were able to go into battle against them, and we were able to defeat that army. And you know, the last two, those kings, I said, you know, where were you in this particular battle? At Tibia, I think it was. And they said, well, we were there, and in fact, we killed a man, it looked like the son of a king. And you know what I said? I said, that was my brother. If you hadn't said that, I would have let you live. You killed my brother. You're going to die. Son, kill those two men. Well, my son wasn't very old yet. And he said, I can't do it, Dad. So the king said, you do it yourself. So I did. I killed them. And then I went back to Succoth, and I took some thorns, and I taught those 70 elders of that city a lesson. I went back to that tower, and I destroyed that tower. And I'm going to look at the text here, chapter 8, because something very, very, very significant happened here when all this was over. In verse 22 of chapter 8, it said, the men of Israel said to Gideon, rule over us both you and your son, and your grandson also, for you have delivered us from the hand of Midian. So I had become great. I was great. They wanted me to rule over them. What do you think I said? What do you think I said to them? Then I say, yeah, I'm a great man. I am powerful. I can do this. What did I say, Audrey? The Lord rule over us. The Lord is where the strength is. The Lord is where the power is. The Lord is where the wisdom is. The Lord is the one who is our God. He is the one. That's the way God intended it from the beginning. They were to follow the law of God. He was to rule over them. So, here's an important lesson for you. I was always very timid about taking on the mantle of leadership. I was always very timid about leading the people into battle against the forces of evil. But I did it because God showed me over and over again that He was the one who had the power. And when people turned and said to me, yes, now we believe you have the power. You know what I said? I said, I learned my lesson. I don't have the power. God has the power. So for 40 years, Israel had rest. Israel had peace because, in some ways at least, they followed after the Lord. I asked them, though, to bring the earrings of gold and some of the robes of purple and bring them before me. And with all of that gold, I made an ephod. You know what my hometown did with that ephod? What do you think they did? I'll give you one guess. They started to worship the ephod of gold. People, I don't understand it. They just keep following after the ways of the world. But what we have to learn is the Lord liveth. The Lord liveth, and He is our God. Let's sing that song.
The Lord.
That is the choice we need to make. Because unfortunately, the world too many times follows after the Baals. They follow after the idols. They follow in that same cycle of being unfaithful to the Lord over and over and over again. But we don't have to follow that cycle. We can make a choice. We can make a choice to put our trust and our confidence in our God. If you're not a Christian, we would encourage you to come to the Lord, because only in the Lord is there strength. Only in the Lord can you overcome the evil one. Believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Confess His name and be baptized to be born again into the family of God. We're going to sing this song, "You Are My All in All," because all of us as Christians have made that dedication. And if you would like to make that dedication tonight, we'd encourage you to come. If you have faltered and gone back into the world, like unfortunately people have, you have an opportunity to call upon the name of the Lord once again and come back to Him. Won't you come while we stand and sing?
Jesus,
we'll have a closing prayer, and then we will have some announcements.